Individually and as a collective, our divine responsibility is to intentionally evolve, to untether from the limitation of lack, fear, and separation, and elevate into the unlimited truth of abundance, love, and oneness. As we release outdated paradigms and conditioning, we can embrace new paradigms that allow for unconditional joy and unprecedented success. The School of Becoming podcast is for women who are devoted to the evolution of their identity at every level. Women who are committed to actualizing their legacy through the embodiment of their highest selves. You deserve a new school for the most important work of your life. The change has to be each one of us. I am her, as you are me, and we are all one. Welcome to the School of Becoming podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn.
Oh, are you listeners the luckiest beings in the world right now? I have the magnificent, loving, sexy, wise, vulnerable Queen of Abundance here with me today, and my dear sister, the one and only Kathy Heller. Welcome to the stage, Kath.
Oh my God. I feel like there's just too many things you could have done in your life, but for sure you could have been a DJ. Like, I feel like just hearing you whisper to me on a drive, like, who was it?
And Delilah.
Delilah for sure. But like, yeah, I was actually trying to think Delilah. It was in Sleepless in Seattle. And she's like, this is Dr. Marsha Fieldstone. Are you like, you have the voice of like a caramel, like melting your whole face off something. And then you have so much substance that you share that like, to hear you like introduce me, I'm like, ah, all day. Thank you for having me on. It is so fun. I was like, oh, that's what's on my calendar today. That sounds good.
That's right. Let's just hang out and let the world listen. That's the gift. Okay. So we're going to do beautiful things. And before we go to present and the gorgeous edges that I know are happening as a result of the birth of Abundant Ever After, I would like to go back in time. Can you tell us what Kathy was like at 5 years old?
Okay. Nobody asked me that. So that's already so. So you, and it's so beautiful, right? Because that is, whether we know it or not, and you for sure know it, that is part of our work, is to collect that little person every day and make sure that we're sort of listening and soothing and attentive to. So that's so beautiful. Thank you for that question. When I was a little girl, I was a lot like the sweater that I'm wearing, which has like mushrooms all over in different colors. I was like really into rainbow bright, and my room was bright yellow, and I loved Care Bears, and everyone in my family was pretty sad. And so I was the quote unquote happy one, which in some ways is really my disposition. I think my mom said that like my sister needed a lot of like many bottles to get her to go to sleep. And I would have one bottle and go to sleep. And then she'd come into my crib in the morning and I'd be smiling. So I feel like some of it we come into the world with, right? Some of it's nature, but some of it's nurtured. And I was definitely like deemed the happy one in order to keep everybody else okay. And then that probably became my way of not having to feel, is to just be happy. So some of it's a blessing, some of it's a challenge. So I was really happy, whatever that really means. Yeah. And I think in part, I've always had a super duper imagination. And I never did well at school. I don't really have much to do with my left brain. In fact, whenever something requires a lot of thinking, I just skip it. So, so I don't really believe in doing a lot of thinking. And so I spent a lot of my time really creating as a kid. I did my first show at the Delray Beach Playhouse when I was 9, which you would know what that is. And we did Free to Be You and Me. And it was the first time I was ever on stage. And I felt this magic, just unbelievable magic. And so I was always doing theater, Little Palm Theater after that in Royal Palm. And then just found my place, and I did summer stock in high school. So I flew up to Boston, and those quote unquote weird kids, those were my people. The people who dared to feel everything and people who didn't believe in anything that was quote unquote realistic. Everyone really believed in what was possible when we dared to feel and dared to dream. And so that in a way has been always the constant, that over the rainbow, that willingness to look over the rainbow. And in a way, the resistance, which was my family drama, and there was a lot of it, it was kind of a beautiful contrast because, you know, right now we're in the month of Kislev, which is the month of December. You know, the Jewish calendar follows the lunar calendar, which is why Abraham wrote the Zodiac, which is lunar calendar. You know, you're anyway. So this month, the days are the shortest, right? So it's the darkest time of year. Although, you know, the Torah says this is the time for the most amount of light to be revealed. Because, of course, if you lit Hanukkah candles at high noon in July, they wouldn't look like much. But when you light Hanukkah candles or you light up the Christmas tree in the middle of the darkest days, the light is so much brighter. And so I think that the very sad, very intense childhood experiences that were happening around me made me more of the light. And as much as I sometimes resented that role, I think that I also grew to see it as a calling. And then now I just have to watch when I'm burdened by that and I'm not giving it to myself. And then there's other times where it's like the coolest place to be in the room is with me, even if we're at the DMV, because I'm going to have fun. Like, we're going to have a good time there.
Yes.
Same way.
I know. Okay, hold on. I just have to tell you the visual that I got. Well, the reason why I love this question and why it's important from where I sit is I always love to see the arc and the little girl, because we know the little girls in us, they show up big time as we evolve, and they end up shining through who we become and the impact we make in the world, right? So it's just, it makes so much beautiful sense. And the visual that I just got when you were talking and you were explaining the darkness and the Hanukkah candles and the Christmas lights, it's like no matter what was going on around you, the brightness, the light, it was like a sunshine that was beaming brighter and brighter inside of you. And you knew that no matter what darkness and whoever was delivering the darkness, it only made little Kathy's knowing and shine inside brighter and stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm tearing up because I can literally count on one hand the people in my life, and you're one of these people who so generously just gifts me the most unconditional love. Sweet. And you were born to do that, Trace. You do that with your nieces and nephew. You do that with your sisters. You do that with your girls. And the world is so much better for it.
Thank you. Thank you. I love sitting here and loving you and holding you while you let emotion flow. Ugh. It's just so beautiful.
And I love that you're in the world doing that, because I think that I'm really good at igniting people, and so are you. But I think that what you do also is you hold the space with so much power for people to know they're safe to go into the wholeness of themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that there are times where people reach for, let's say, my content. It feels like a drug. It's like, whoa, you know, it's like, that's right. It's all magic, right? And that's so fun. And it's true.
Yeah.
I also think, though, that in order to be ready for the magic, you have to have cleared the cache.
Mm.
You have to clear the browser history. or else the computer is so slowed down, you just can't write a new software. So I'm so grateful that, you know, God blessed me with what it is that's my music. But if it wasn't for people who do what you do, I wouldn't be able, like, I've accessed more of this depth and the capacity to teach it because of the experiences of the light workers that have allowed enough safety and vision for me to go fully into the darkest places and turn them into something else. And you do that. And it's really effing powerful. And I just feel like nobody does it. I feel like you do that. And like, I'm trying to, like, Samantha Skelly does that with her breathwork practice so beautifully. But there's so few people because it's so not sexy at first in your mind. You're like, I don't feel my feelings. Ew. But I really want someone to just keep reading me affirmations because that's great. And there is so much to the both and, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just so cool that you chose to raise your hand for this mission because it's very singular to you how you do it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I received that. And having you in my life, what we inherently do for one another, which becomes such a gift to our ripple effects in this world. To me, like when we talk about abundance conceptually, you are abundance for me. Like what you shine, what you show me, how you hold me, how you're like, no, this, you're this, you're this, right? Like it helps to expand my perception of abundance. You ignite abundance in me by seeing me, by loving me, by reflecting to me, right? And we do that for each other, which is, it's beyond.
No, you're right. And honestly, it's such an honor and I'm sure all of your listeners, they listen because they see the same thing. So there's, you know, you and I are extremely authentic. If I don't have anything nice to say, I am the person, I won't say anything. I'm pretty good at that. Like I don't have what to say. But when I love someone, it's so easy to love them. And I do feel like God gave me that capacity to hold up a mirror that's a really clear mirror. And I had a friend yesterday who I was in my wedding, I mean, a close friend, who reached out and said, Kath, and she said in Hebrew, kol hakavod, which means all the, you know, mazel in the world, congratulations. And she said, I told you, she said, when we met when we were 21, that in a past life, she said, you must have been, you know, one of these like Kohanim, like a priest that could like give over like the Torah, the living Torah, the word of God. She goes, because I'm telling you, I told you that 20 something years ago. And I forgot that she told me that. But then I remembered when she said it. And it is so unbelievably powerful when someone who sees you tells you what they see. And I started crying. I was like, you know, Lara, I forgot that you said that, but now I remember that you said that. It's probably because it's hard to receive such an incredible compliment. But I said, do you know that you're one of those first people on my journey when I was like still totally figuring out who I was, who stopped in your tracks and said, let me just tell you something about the way you speak. Let me just tell you something about the way you can bring down spirituality. And I said, and that I can like remember like the few people who actually could see it when I was like still very rough around the edges, and you were one of those. And to be able to do that for someone, and if you're listening right now, and there's someone in your life who you feel that you have a mirror to see their beauty and their actual fullness, tell them immediately, text them that, because we are the last to know. It's ridiculous, actually. Like 5 years ago, I was sitting on a beach with Kate Northrup and Susie Moore and all the girls. And one of them said to me, you know, you're like a spiritual teacher. And at the time I was teaching women entrepreneurship, and that business was really about being called into your passion, which is very spiritual, right? It wasn't really about funnels, God forbid. But when she said that to me, I was like, wait, what am I hesitating for? Like, why am I not just writing these books that are really the love language of my soul? It's because Alphaba really thinks there's a Wizard of Oz. And it's only cliche because we all constantly forget that you've been assigned.
Yes.
And you don't need any other permission other than to really trust that quote unquote crazy ass idea in your head. That is it. Co-sign it now. Like, God is powering the vessel. Go ahead and go. Like, take the baton. And we really don't. You know, even Moses, people know the story, Prince of Egypt. We understand. We know that that's literal. That was history that actually happened. This man, it took him 85 years till he went back to Egypt. He kept saying to God, why would you choose me? I have a lisp. I can't speak. It's like, hello, right?
Yes.
And then he wound up going to this mountain and having the download of humanity. He came back with the code. He was like, hey guys, here's what I think it is. If we could just like not murder, not steal. And guess what? It worked. So many people took him up on it, right? This guy, 85 years, he could not believe that he had anything worthy of going and being a steward for God's word like that. I mean, that is on purpose, by the way, also, that is our model, that these stories of people, because God knows that we're going to all be in the same bumpy, sticky place, but it's like enough already.
Well, yes. The enough already, you know, I get very amped up on that because, you know, it's because it's, you know, how many conversations, beautiful beings that are listening, do we need to hear? How many times, right? Do we need to understand that we're one in 400 trillion? That one of the things in the essence of this stunning book is, you know, abundance is you. This was my perception. Abundance is you being expressed, answering that call, shining your light, because when you do those things, to use your radio receiver beautiful string throughout this book, that's when your receiver clicks in. That's when your frequency is there. And there is such there's such a misunderstanding and misperception of abundance being tied to something external and something externally measurable. And it's fucking maddening, and you break it down so beautifully. So can you just like rant on that for a minute about what the actual truth of abundance is?
Yeah, I mean, you and I both teach this. We teach it with different language, but we both teach the same concept, okay, to get people to the same place, which is the reason we think it's outside of us is because of separation consciousness. That's why. When you're in separation consciousness, you're separate from it, whatever it is, the Holy Grail, the Oracle, the Fountain of Youth, you're separate from it. That's what you think, right? Yeah. However, when you and I went for, you know, we've done this on our own, we've done it together. You go to a Joe Dispenza meditation retreat, you close your eyes after like, you know, 16 minutes, you're like, whoa, I can drop my body. I'm no body, I'm nowhere and no time. What is this? It's like, oh, right, I'm reconnecting. I'm recalibrating to what I really am, which is consciousness. And there is no where it ends. Oh my goodness. So for me, that didn't happen first at a Joe Dispenza retreat. That happened in Jerusalem when my sweet holy rabbi said to me, you are a masterpiece because you're a piece of the master. And I'm like, oh, I got chills down my spine. And then he's like, you're not a body because you're no body, but you are someone because you're some of the one. And I'm like, what a mic drop, right? So then there is nothing outside of you because it's in you and it is you, right? And Rabbi Aaron said, listen, if God is infinite, right? The Ein Sof is the name of God in the Kabbalah. That means the endless light. That's what it means, the endless light. That's what we call God, okay? It's so, by the way, when people are like, I don't think I believe in God. I'm like, have you studied Judaism? Because I think you might actually believe in what you think you don't believe in. The endless light, the infinite field, okay? So there is nowhere that isn't. And that is you. You are an expression of it. It's only the mind, which by the way, I was talking to Martha Beck yesterday, who I like hesitate to say words to her because she's loving and she has a doctorate and all these things. So she's like, yeah, that's half true, but the amygdala, and I'm like, oh my God, school me. She's so good. And she was saying like this amygdala, it's just a riot because all it's doing all day long is living inside of an illusion. Nothing in it is real, nothing. Mm-hmm. So that illusion makes you feel completely separate from and in lack, period. And then she was saying, which I really thought was helpful because I'm always talking about the mind. And she's like, hold up, the mind is only half in your way because the right hemisphere, she said it so well. She goes, the right hemisphere is the part that only speaks in poetry and colors and song lyrics. I'll go, got it. She's like, that part of your mind, you want that part, right? It's the left part that just has no answers and can't direct you at all, but gets really in the way. And I'm like, oh, that's so helpful, right? So that's what it is. And when you move out of that left hemisphere, which has this know-it-all, separate, ego, elusive, weird consciousness, you find the part of you that is so in joy, so in play. And here's the thing, we live in a world where the left brain, now I'm calling it just the left brain, it's dangerous to teach me anything, because I'm like, now I know that, I'm gonna teach that. Right? That part of us, whatever that part of us is, it's the overthinking part. Mm. And when you're a child, and this work you know well, because you bring people back to that place to go love that part of themselves and scoop them up. When you're having fun as a child, there is no outcome-driven need. There's no ROI other than being in the moment and feeling, like you said, fully expressed, fully alive. So when people say to me, I want abundance, I'm like, what do you want? They're like, $5 million. I'm like, you have such bigger dreams than that. That's what you want? Your whole journey? You're like, I want a pile of cash? I call bullshit. I'm like, I don't think so. I think what you really want is the feeling of wind in your hair. I think what yes. you really want is the feeling of having creative ideas that just make you feel so inspired you can't see straight. And I think what you really want is to love people and to have them love you back. And I think what you really want is to feel connected to this transcendence. And I think you want a mystical synchronicity every single day. And they're like, yeah, I actually do want that. I'm like, right. So all those things that I just said, those are all within reach every second. You don't need to wait for $5 million to feel all of that. In fact, it's not coming with the $5 million, but it is coming with you being in alignment with your energetic flow. And when you find that energetic flow, you become a walking possibility to the people in the world. You love people into life. Your whole life becomes a blessing. And then you and I both know that when energy is that coherent, it creates in the quantum field and it bends 3D reality. It's like boiling water, bending hard pasta. You can literally move as if the atoms around you were like slime or kinetic sand that my kids are always playing with. Your energy bends that kinetic sand. You make Olaf. You make icicles in the snow. You turn things from whispers of thought into snow fractals that get bigger and bigger. And the more you think it, the more you focus it, the more you feel it, you literally build it in the three-dimensional space from energy, because that's what energy does, just like the sun creates the photosynthesis that builds a 3D plant. You're building a 3D world with your vibration. And so that is the most abundant thing. And that's why when people are super abundant, they don't even care anymore about physical things. They just want to keep creating. Because correct. That's abundant.
Correct, being. Correct. Okay, we have to stay in it. Okay, so many things are shooting through my body right now. The first one is, please, listener, let land that this story that you're carrying that's driven from separation, that once you hit $5 million and once you have this bag and once you have this thing and once all these things happen, that then you are going to finally feel and experience the abundance. And it's really important that we sit here, because you're going to pick up a copy of Abundant Ever After and buy it for everybody that you know, but you're not going to do it through the lens of, I'm going to buy this book so that I can generate this money, so that I can continuously drive this external paradigm. Because look at how many people in the world have, quote, had all of that external things, the most celebrity-based, famous, successful people that have all the money and all the houses and all the support staff and all of the things, but inside they are actively dying, sad, miserable, alone, lamenting. This is so vital, because abundance is so fucking misunderstood. And when it stays misunderstood, you will never be able to turn that radio receiver into that frequency, because you're faking the funk and you're saying I'm manifesting, but you're still over-focused on the external thing. Therefore, your energy is way off where it needs to be.
Totally true. I mean, it's just, right, like, some people, I heard this quote, some people are so poor, all they have is money.
Boom.
And it just feels, I mean, how many times have you ever experienced where you, I mean, I don't want to name names, even though she's a celebrity, so it'd be fair to talk about her. But I saw a very famous person at the bar at Hotel Bel Air alone. And, you know, she just looked awful, like sad and alone. And I walked over to the maitre d' and I go, is that so-and-so? And he's like, yeah. And I go, that made me cry, because I watched her in every movie. I'm literally, I could say who it is, it's a celebrity, but I feel bad like saying this about a person. And then I watched her walk away, and the maitre d' said, she's here all alone all the time. And I'm like, oh, I felt like a chill go through me, right? So we know that, right? We know that. The good news though, for our creative minds to play in, is you don't have to actually choose between physical or spiritual wealth. You're actually assigned to receive as much as possible from all realms. And, you know, Jacob, you know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the word Jacob, Ekev, is the same word for heel, like the bottom of your foot. Mm-hmm. And the reason why is because Jacob saw this ladder and these angels went up and down. And the reason why the 12 tribes of Israel come from Jacob, and Jacob had a second name, which was Israel, which he, anyway, the point I'm making is the reason why that is so important, that his name actually is the same word for the bottom of your foot, is because Jacob had the capacity to take the mundane, the physical, and elevate it to the highest, and to take the highest spiritual and bring it down to the lowest places. So everything became magnetic. Mm. That is our job, meaning to say, it's not about not wanting for the physicality. We're here to enjoy it, mm-hmm. but it's about elevating the physical. It's not about having a house. It's about making a home, right? It's not about having a glass of wine. It's about doing a toast with that glass of wine with your best friend, right? It's not about having sex. It's about having sex and really finding a higher level of consciousness with that physical. That's the idea, is that we believe that there are sparks, so many sparks of godliness and mystical nutrition in everything. But that is such a different lens in which to see it. It's about finding and inviting and elevating everything so that it has spiritual power, which that only comes from you knowing and feeling the wholeness within first, because that is not outside of you. It is actually you that is able to invite it and draw it out from everything around you. So you don't protect your energy, you project your energy, and then your energy comes back to you through everything around you, because it is all this like hologram. So there is nothing outside of you, but everything outside of you can become magical. Like Mary Poppins, the way she walked through the world around her became elevated because she was magical. So all of a sudden cleaning the room was amazing, and the kids wanted to do it, and they wanted to jump into the sidewalk because it's always there hidden in plain sight. We're just not seeing it, because those glasses come from the wholeness factor. When we are at whole with our soul, we then walk through the world and the world is like Willy Wonka's factory. But if you're not in wholeness, you'll just keep seeing and perceiving that everything is like super far away. It's kind of like walking through a house of mirrors in a fair or a carnival. When you're tapped in and plugged into the endless light inside yourself, the trees start talking to you. Like you feel like you're on mushrooms all the time, and everything around you, even the way people will feel around you, they will become their highest self around you. Opportunities, things that they've never told anyone, things that come to you, the way that the world. My husband and I were on a flight once, and I'm sitting with one daughter and he's sitting five rows back with.
There are three huge blind spots that are currently limiting you. Number one, you're not fully living what you teach, and people can sense it. Number two, fear is slowing you down, but you don't even realize its insidiousness and omnipresence in your life. Thing three, your clients are getting mixed results, and you don't know why. Prowess is going to make all of that a distant memory. During Prowess, a brand new 3-day virtual event, you are going to make 3 undeniable power moves that will catapult you into a new stratosphere of integrity, influence, and impact. Power move number one, quit talking shit. Embody your expertise at a whole new level and become a walking billboard for your transformational work. Power move number two, put fear on your team. Stop stopping yourself from doing all the bold, beautiful things you know you're capable of and use fear to fuel all of your dreams. Power move number three, get better results, guaranteed. Discover why you and your clients currently get mixed results and how to get the breakthroughs you both intend like clockwork. Queen, it's time to close the gap on what you know and the results you get, and become so exceptional that you rewrite the game. Prowess is happening February 3rd through February 5th. Head over to theschoolofbecoming.com/prowess or to the link in the show notes and choose VIP. Because that's exactly what she would do.
Another daughter, and he texts me, he goes, this stewardess is so rude. And I'm like, oh my God, she's so nice. She just gave me like extra of whatever. And it's because I'm drawing that out of her, right? Like, I'm like, I always assume everyone's my best friend and I never need anything from anyone, right? And I always assume the best. If anyone's in a bad mood, I'm like, she's tired, she had a bad, it's not me. Mm-hmm. So it was just so fascinating. He's like, she's the worst. I'm like, oh, she's actually just become my best friend. We're having the best time. Same person, right? And she said to me, my God, that guy in the fifth row is so rude. And I was like laughing because he, you know, you get what you expect and you see what you see and what you choose to see. And then it becomes true. Right. So it's all happening inside of you.
It is all happening inside of you. And that's also, you know, what you mean by your frequency and the radio receiver, right? The feeling comes first and the feeling comes from you. I'm obsessed with the phrase that you just said before about you don't protect your energy, you project your energy. And your reality is a direct reflection of what you're emitting. Like, period. So, you know, it's like, if you want to know, well, where am I at? What do I need to shift? Well, it's like your reality is a reflection of what's happening internally. And you don't need to wait on anything or anyone to shift outside of you to have a completely different emotional experience in your inner environment. And anything less than the prioritization and the personal responsibility of your inner environment is an abdication of your power and will keep you separate from, thus pushing more and hustling more and doing it harder. You know, it's a whole way of being. It's a whole way of being.
I just 2 weeks ago I was in La Jolla. I spent Shabbat. I spoke at a conference with Dr. Edith Eger, who's a Holocaust survivor. She's 97. She's literally Tracy. You know, she would be among your favorite people. She was a dancer. She was actually on her way to the Olympics for gymnastics when she was taken to Auschwitz. So she still loves to dance. So she walked out on stage holding her grandson, who's gorgeous, holding his hand. And she did a high kick at 97. And she goes, you like that? She like did a little spin. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm obsessed. And her whole, you know, her whole body of work is very Viktor Frankl-esque, obviously very similar. But, you know, she talks about how there's always, since the beginning of humanity, there's always something you can find, many somethings that can give you the evidence for why you're going to choose to just give all your power away and be in a bad mood. There's never not been bad things happening in civilization. Never. Pick a time, right? Middle Ages, Dark Ages, like when was it perfect? No. And that's not the point. That is the video game we're playing. There's going to be tremendous amounts of darkness, but there's always an equal amount of light. And you can also focus on that. And you can also choose, no matter where you are, what is the meaning you're making and who do you get to become in that moment? And so the stories that she tells, she tells a story about her sister who she survived the camps with and lost the rest of her family. And when the American soldiers came to free this one concentration camp, they were giving out coats, and these Jewish prisoners were obviously emaciated and freezing. And her sweet sister was offered this coat, and there was another coat that was less warm but really stylish. And she's like, I want the stylish one. And Edith said that she started to cry. And her sister said, because even though I'm freezing, I want to choose what makes me feel beautiful, because I haven't got to wear anything. And she said that was when she knew her sister was going to be okay, because she made a choice. She made a choice to choose something that gave her pure pleasure. And it's just extraordinary. Like, it's just extraordinary. And there are so many people who have such less, you know, I mean, most of us, thank God, have less horror than she experienced. Mm-hmm. And yet, if she can find a way to make her life a blessing, you should see, she had all her grandchildren standing on stage with her. God, are they gorgeous. And their kids. And she said, this is my revenge to Hitler. Look at my life.
Yes, 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 yes. When we understand that, right? And her book, The Choice, was one of, it was the most profound reading experience I ever had. It was, when I was reading that book, I've never done this with any other read. I literally couldn't put it down. Wherever I was, it was next to me. If I had 2 minutes in between something, I was reading another quick page, eating it up. The way she exemplifies and embodies the ability to focus on our feeling internally, the ability to not let, like, whatever beautiful listener you're currently giving your power away to, is such petty, insignificant bullshit in the face of what Edith Edgar and Viktor Frankl and other Holocaust experiencers and survivors had to confront and not allow to impact them. And it's very important to me that we hold things relative, because in the world that we live in, it's like, wow, are you fucking kidding me? That's what you're abdicating your power to. That's what you're relying everything about your frequency and your emotional state. And that's what you're saying isn't going right outside of you. So now you can't X, Y, Z. History matters, especially from that perspective. Relativity matters. Whatever you are going through, you can either give your power to it and stay stuck and spinning and separate, or you can listen to a conversation like this, you can read Abundant Ever After, and you can go, hold on a second. Let me actually become different and shift the lens through which I approach this life from an internal perspective, right? An orientation of, I'm going to singularly prioritize what's going on internally, and I'm going to completely surrender and attach from anything that's happening externally. And not only does that feel fucking amazing, because I'm after how many hours of the day we spend feeling good, regardless of what happens outside, but what you said before, the interesting gift and irony of not letting the outside influence the inside, is that not only do you feel well, but then all of a sudden the synchronicities start to arrive, and the things that were already yours become yours with very little effort.
We forget how damn powerful we are, is the problem. And any movie we've ever watched that we love, we are rooting for the hero's journey. And what makes the ultimate ending so much of a payoff is what the person goes through and overcomes and does not let them stop who they really were meant to be. And that is us. And so for us to look up to the people in our lives who've been heroes, who continue to find humility and kindness and grace and compassion, despite things that they have gone through, that is what we should be in awe of, and know that that is a possibility reminder of what's inside of us. And that is the video game. That's the story. That's what we're playing. We're playing that game. Can you continue to project the most amazing, incredible light that is within you, wherever you are right now. And, you know, people feel like they need to change the world or they need to do something to impress the world, but we feel very, it's very global. It always feels like I have to have some giant thing to post on Instagram to prove my worthiness. What if the world that you will have today, meaning whoever comes across your path, the crossing guard at your kid's school, the work that you need to do with your assistant, the person who's going to come to your door, your gardener, what if like that's your assignment? Your assignment is you're being given this little patch of earth and God is saying, don't change the whole world, change this world, right? And then you go, wow, I actually could do that. It's like, of course you could do that. And do you know how easy it actually is to make someone's day? Because so many people have turned off their radio and they're sitting in static and you show up and I went to take my car to get service the other day. There was a woman sitting next to me. She was really bummed out. And she was saying, oh, I thought this was going to take an hour. And now they're saying they're going to keep my car for like 6 hours and I won't be able to get to work. And I'm just going to be stuck here all day. And I said to her, hang on a minute. There's a cappuccino machine over there. It's free, you know, for people in the service department. You have a phone, I see. You can listen to podcasts. What if you're being told by the universe, you're getting a day off? You're not going to work today. And she started to cry. She's like, what? Oh my gosh. She goes, I am totally overworked and depleted. I'm like, yeah, what if you changed the way you looked at this? And she's like, you were so sweet to say that. I'm like, because you're sitting here in air conditioning, there's a television, you have a phone, you even have a book, and there's a coffee machine. Like, what if this is just different? And I'm saying she was so in awe that I took the time to say that. But to me, I was like, how cool that I could find significance at the parts dealer, like where I was just going to get my car serviced. When you see that, you realize, oh my gosh, all day long, there's like these Easter eggs waiting for me, these synchronicities waiting for me, and I'm needed and I can contribute and I can feel alive. And the coolest opportunities come and it's not about the outcome. It's about the moment. The moment is the goal, being in the moment, enjoying the moment. And then you just feel so abundant, so alive.
Yes, yes. I call that connected to everything, attached to nothing.
Yeah, it's right? True.
Right? And what you're describing there, because abundant living is conscious living, right? From where I sit. So, and when you're conscious and you're abundant, then you see what you saw. Right? Because you are, and we see the world as we are, not the way it is. So that's another example of like the you and Lowell on the plane story. It's you and this woman in the service department. And look at what I saw. I saw this and I saw this and I saw this. And that's, it's such a beautiful, like, this is why you come and work on yourself. This is why you untether from the 3D. This is why, blah, blah, blah. It's just so beautiful because what is great is always as available as what is not great. And you don't see with your eyes, you see through your eyes. So, okay. Yeah. I'm gonna just shift us for a minute because I wanna ask you a question. And I just wanna hold up the book one more time and say one more thing about this gorgeous book. With all my little, these are my little things because I read and I make notes. Abundant Ever After, absolutely incredible. We're gonna put the link in the show notes. And I feel really lucky because I know you so well that as I read, I just hear you. I said to David, I go, I love reading this. It's just like Kathy's in my ear. Like I hear every inflection. I hear the way she's saying that and popping off on this. It's so great. This is a big evolution for you too, right? And this to your point when you were sitting with Kate and Susie and are talking about like, Kathy, you are it, babe. You are this stunning spiritual preacher, the gift that you are in that way. And it comes screaming through love in this book. And I'm curious, what's going on now? What is this? You're in a growth edge. It's happening. What's like, just let's just chat about that. What's happening right now?
I mean, I told my team, they're like, how do you feel? I'm like, I feel like I'm on a magic carpet ride. Because I've like really just let go. And my friend Casey said to me last week, she's like, I was thinking about fear and how fear really wants certainty. It doesn't like the unknown. So she said, I realized that the opposite of fear is not certainty, it's infinite possibility. And I feel like I'm in this like surrender where I'm on this magic carpet ride, this feeling of like, you're kind of like floating. And so the human, like left brain, whatever part of me is like, whoa, you just like totally let go. And then the part of me I'm getting more and more familiar with, sort of memorizing, this part of me is like, oh, hell yeah. The only thing you should answer when someone asks you something is, I don't know. Like, that should be your answer. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm saying that more and more now. Like, what are you gonna do this? I'm like, I don't know, right? Meaning like, let's go, let's just play. Let's just let it lead. Let's just be here for the moment and the synchronicities. And also in August, this is like the big, big unknown. So in August, I said to my husband, I'm like, I have completely outgrown this dynamic. Like, I've gotten to a place where I can see that there is just so much old programming in our dynamic, and you don't even see me anymore. And I'm not sure I see you anymore. And so we're sort of like literally giving each other cortisol hits all the time, because we're just in this loop and the energy is not really good. It's not like circulating water. It's like stagnant water. So I said, let's move out of the sort of me and you stage. Let's go to a God stage where you're just, I let go of needing you to be anything. And I just want you to be loved, and we will be on our like soul contract journey for a while. And he's like, well, what does that mean? Are we breaking up? I'm like, we're just in this pause right now where you get to be you, I get to be me. And then whatever's meant to happen, we're going to love each other through it. And I was crying, and it felt so loving and evolved, as you said. I was like, it is evolved. Like, cause I'm not saying this from a place other than my greatest, like, wanting for him to feel love and for me to feel love. Well, now it's actually been many months. It's now it's middle of December, and we're still in that. And what's really beautiful is I don't know. I still don't know what will be, but what I'm watching happening is we went to a dinner, Shabbat dinner last Friday night, and somebody asked my husband, how are you? And he made a joke, which he usually does. And then she said, no, but really, blah, blah, blah. And then he proceeded to tell the entire table that he started seeing this healer who does IFS work, internal family systems, which is a lot like the work you do. And he's from India, and he's a healer, and he worked with Joe Dispenza for 12 years. So he has this sort of this coupling of like coherence healing with like, let's go back and talk to whatever's in your body and what age and what's coming and how old were you and what's in there, and let's clear it and let's be there and let's be gentle. It's really incredible work. And my husband starts telling the whole table that he is so enjoying this work. And I'm sitting there looking at him thinking, I don't know who this person is. This is a new person. And he never would have done that. Because for the first time, I didn't ask him to do that. I didn't force him to do it. And I'm also not running going, oh, great, now we're gonna, like, keep doing what you need to do. Keep doing what you need to do. And I will keep doing what I need to do. And we've just been so loving and so kind. And I think it's such an incredible gift to give my daughters, because we both come from so much stuff. He had a father that died when he was a child. He had abuse in his family. He had so much pain, a sister with Down syndrome, no money, living below the poverty line, on welfare, like so much. So for him to finally take a look at loving a little boy that feels so broken, and he's making him feel whole, he just looks different to me now. And no matter what will happen between us, this was the crucible. This is the rapture. This needed to happen. So that's one huge growth edge. And I also had this big growth edge around, like, I kept wanting to pull a geographic and move because I didn't feel whole where I was. And so we just started building and redoing a house in Florida. And it's been so easy and fun. And the people working on it are like kind people from like the Midwest who are just always on time. And it's like, I can't even believe I manifested something. It's working out. It's on time. It's costing what they said it would cost. It's like, it's beautiful. And also when people are like, so are you going to move in June? I'm like, my kids are really happy here. Maybe in a year, maybe it's where we're going to move to when my daughter starts ninth grade. I don't know. I don't need to know. What I know is in the moment, I'm letting myself do the things that I feel called to do. And that's a pretty cool thing where you're not trying to control where it's going to go. And I feel, as far as my career goes, that right now I'm I'm really willing. I think for a long time, there was a part of me that felt, oh my gosh, you're going to be so Jewish publicly? Like, really? Are people going to like that? I mean, let's face it. I think that we come from grandparents and their parents. There's a tremendous amount of PTSD around that. Nobody was really telling people to broadcast that for the last thousands of years. And I decided like that, you know, that which makes us different makes us beautiful. And let's face it, we're 0.02% of the whole world. There's 15 million Jews, period, in the whole universe. And it's like nothing. It's like a dot. And I'm among those who feel so proud and connected. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be me now. You know what I mean? So that's a growth edge. But I'll tell you that when you know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. It doesn't have its own light. But how beautiful is the moon? Mm. And so to reflect the light of my people,
yeah, I'm going to hold you right now and I'm going to reflect something back to you because it's really beautiful. I don't think I've ever said it to you this way before. There are a lot of gifts that we talk about and beautiful listeners and a lot of our communities know each other and know our relationship. You being so rooted and so committed and so embodied in your Judaism has had such an impact on my reconnection to my Judaism. My sister noticed it. You know, my mother's born and raised in Israel. All my family's from there. My grandfather, may he rest in peace, was a Holocaust survivor. And somewhere along my childhood, I think after he died of a heart condition that's formed in the Holocaust when I was 7, I think I started to detach a little. Then I dropped out of Hebrew school because I'm also a questioner. And I was like, this makes no fucking sense to me.
Oh, it's so boring the way they teach
you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like we need to get a little bit better at that.
You and I can make all
that later. Right, yeah. And I started to really just have a disconnection and not into atheism or anything. I always believed in something bigger than me and God, but it was more like, okay, I appreciate the traditions of the fact that I'm Jewish and that's where I left it. And our relationship has put me back. I bought Shabbat candles. I speak more about my knowing that as Jews, we are the light workers in this world. And I have a pride and a connection to it that is a byproduct of you not shrinking in your calling in this world, because the way you teach spirituality is through the truth of Judaism. And it's stunning.
That is like the best early Hanukkah gift in the world, because Tracy, you're such a magnificent soul and your prayer is super powerful. You're so in God's army. That for you to be connected to this light that loves you so much, that is so proud of you. Like if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on the fridge. He'd be like, I made this. I made this. Look what I made. And for you to like be reconnected, like your grandparents, their parents. You know, we were doing the math the other day and I said to my kids, how many generations do you think we are from Abraham? And we looked it up. And we're 94 generations, but you think about putting 94 people in a room, it's actually not that many people, right? And to think that we've passed down this light and that the chain stayed. We've kept this chain.
Oh yeah. And my perception of it, my understanding of it now is that it only strengthens exponentially. Right? Like I know that my great great grandmother gave to my grandmother, who gave to my mother, who gave to me. Oh, and I see that direct, deep wisdom, spark, magnetism, light work beams out of Taylor. Undeniable.
I cannot wait. I really hope I get to meet her on this.
Oh,
trip.
You are going. We already talked about it.
That's with her. I just want to say why I know that it's the truth because people say to me, when I tell them this, they can't believe this is true. So a friend of mine recently, she just said to me, I think I want to convert to Judaism. And my response was, why? You don't need to. And she's like, what kind of response is that? I go, no, you're totally welcome to. We would love to have you, but here's why you don't need to. I said, we don't convert people. And she goes, are you kidding me? I never knew that. I go, are you, what do you mean? Why do you think there's only 15 minutes? We don't convert people. She said, why don't you? I said, because you're already connected to God. You can't not be connected. Even if you've never heard a word of Judaism and you live deep in the Amazon, you are connected the same way I am. And she said, how can that be? I go, yeah, that's what we believe. Like every soul, the only thing that we say is let's follow this code of ethics so that we can not murder, not steal, know the light within us. And yes, Judaism is a blueprint for all of us. But to me, that is such a litmus test of truth. Like how many other religions can say like, no, we don't go out and, you know, need you to be like us, because oneness is not sameness. And so that is the light, right? Because Abraham didn't say there is one God. He said, God is one, which means you're already connected to it. Click your heels, Dorothy, you're already home. Like, that's why it's so beautiful. Like, what a radically progressive, inclusive. It's like, yes, 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 yes. And so, you know, when people are afraid, they try to control. When people don't know something, it registers as fear. And so a lot of people get scared and then try to assert their control over people. You see that in a lot of societies. It's definitely not how it is, you know, in a Jewish society. Israel is like such a thriving, happy, such a happy country where there's gay people and Jews and Muslims and Christians, and they all live and they all thrive and they all enjoy being practicing their religions. Oh my gosh, what a concept. And everyone's welcome. And it's just that when people don't know something, they get scared. And so I think because there's so few of us, people make up stories or meanings that they don't know. And, you know, we just continue to hopefully know the truth and just send people compassion and love. And it's, we're all going to get there together. But I'm just incredibly honored. It's such an honor to have any little tiny bit in your journey, because you're really a spiritual medicine woman, and your ancestors, Rachel, Rebecca, Sarah, they want to speak to you. They want to listen. They want you to listen, and they have what to say. So got to open that portal.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Thank you for everything, Tracy. You're really just magical. And I'm so grateful that we met. And then it just so happened that you live where I grew up. And so I get to see you. And that is just such an awesome, I had just prayed for you literally days before. I thought, if I'm going to be in Florida, am I going to meet anyone cool? But literally the next day, my friend Veronica was like, I have someone for you to meet. And she lives in South Florida. I'm like, you're kidding. And I was like, okay, God is so good.
That's right. That's right. God knows what he's doing, what she's doing, what the universe is doing when we were brought together. And it's incredible. You are a gift that keeps on giving. I love you as my friend, my soul sister. I am so
grateful. We're probably related, by the way.
Oh, well, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. No doubt. And the way that we get to serve the world together and shine our light and beam our hearts and spread the ripple effect, which is the contribution. And that's what you were saying before. So allowing these beautiful listeners that are hanging with us, beam the light, open your heart, recognize that that is what you're, that is the abundance. That is the abundance. So the last thing that I would like to ask you to share is just to imagine that the whole entire world is tuned in, and we have a few seconds of their attention, and the megaphone that is connected is speaking right into their hearts. What do you need them to hear?
The central concept in the book that I think is so beautiful, Rabbi Aaron shared with me, that the law of reception, the word Kabbalah means to receive. And what that means is it's so immediate. It's right there. You just need to receive it. And what that means is that if you had a radio and you turned it on, you would hear music finally. But where was the music before you turned it on? It was already there, hidden in plain sight. And that when you tune your own vibration to love, you see love everywhere. When you're tuned to lack, the radio station plays lack. So you have this dial inside of yourself to tune to the wholeness, the fullness, and then you will hear the music. And so I would love you to play a game with the universe today and say, I know that I could hear and see and perceive the magic, the synchronicity when I'm available to receive it. And I am available to receive the magic today, and it will be in your life, guaranteed. It is there already, already done.
Yes. Thank you. I'm going to play that game too.
Oh, good. Thank Tracy, you. I cannot wait to see you and hug you. I really want to meet Taylor and...
Oh, it's all up. So we'll get Ethan. We'll get everybody on board. It's going to be great. We can have brunch in Woodfield. It'll be great. It's so good.
I love you like life, and God bless you. And I'm going to send you when I get my info, and we're going to be together in 5-6-1.
I love you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Mwah! Love you, babe. Bye.
Thank you for your energy and attention today. I honor how valuable it is. Please take a quick moment to leave a review and share what resonated the most. If it feels aligned, share the show with another trailblazer just like you. With every review and every share, you are contributing to the elevation of the collective consciousness of our world. And for that, I thank you.